Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation comes from our gospel lesson this morning, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 and 23. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." This is our text. Jesus looked at his disciples and said to them, "Blessed are you. Rejoice and leap for joy." Now, being good Lutherans, I don't think we do much leaping for joy. So maybe we can make up for it by being a little more rejoicing. And we have every reason to rejoice, because as Jesus reminds us, we are truly a blessed people. So what we want to do for a few minutes this morning is take a little closer look at this portion of the gospel lesson and see why Jesus tells us to rejoice. And then he says, when you are finished, who knows, you may even, as Lutherans, feel like leaping for joy. Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor." Now, by poor, he's not talking about being poor in a monetary sense. He's talking about spiritual poverty. He's talking about the fact that we have accumulated a debt of sin. In fact, we have accumulated a mountainous debt of sin. And that mountainous debt of sin has cut us off from God. It has resulted in that we are now under, because of those sins, the wrath of God. Because of those sins, we have been doomed to eternal damnation. And what makes that even all the worse is that we can't do anything to pay off that spiritual debt. There is no amount of good works that we could ever do that would settle that account with God. So left on our own, we are nothing but lost and condemned sinners. But there is good news. And the good news is that the kingdom of God is ours. And that can mean only one thing. Our debt has been paid. It has been completely canceled. And even more than that, it's gone. If God were to pick up the book of our life and open it up to see the record of our lives, there would be nothing there. It is all washed away. It would just simply state that we are the redeemed children of God. Our sins are gone. They no longer stand between us and our God. How is that possible? Certainly it was not because of anything we had done. There's no way we could ever have worked off that debt. We had no spiritual riches whatsoever that we could apply to that debt to begin to pay it down. So how is it possible that that mountainous debt of sin that we had incurred has been canceled? Well, the answer, the cross of Christ. There on that cross, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that by his work on the cross, we might become the righteousness of God in him. In other words, God charged our debt of sin to Jesus. And on the cross, Jesus paid off that debt in full. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so Jesus died on that cross. It was the perfect Lamb of God being sacrificed for the sins of the world. Now that was no little thing. It's easy to say those words. Jesus dies on the cross. But crucifixion is a terrible way to die. Crucifixion is an excruciating death. And when we look at the crucifixion, we only see the physical side of what Jesus was going through on that cross on our behalf. We have to remember that that death was the payment for our sins. The payment for the sins of the world. On the cross, God was dealing with those sins of the world. Now again, sin is an easy word to say. But sin is not some minor issue. It's not a character flaw, personality problem that we might have. Sin is turning away from God. Sin is turning around and walking away from God. Sin is rejecting totally, completely the will and the law of God. Sin is rebellion against God's authority. Sin is disobedience. Sin is enmity. Sin is warfare with God. Sin is hatred of God and his ways. Sin is disobedience, our willful disobedience. That had to be dealt with. And that's what God was doing on the cross. He was dealing with our sinfulness. He was punishing sin, our sins, the sins of the world, as Jesus hung on that cross. And then there's this verse, and God spared not his only Son. God poured out the full wrath, the fullness of his wrath over the sins of the world on his Son. He did not spare him that punishment. Why did God do that? The answer to that question comes from Jesus' first words on the cross. Father, he prays, forgive them. That's what this whole thing was all about. Forgiveness. The forgiveness of our sins. The payment of and the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. That full, free, complete forgiveness of all sins. And the result of Jesus dying on the cross is the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. In the sacrament of holy baptism, we were washed clean by the power of the water and the word. In that sacrament of holy baptism, saving faith was created in our hearts. In baptism, we were given a new life and a new living heart of faith. In that sacrament, our names were written in the book of life. And in that sacrament, God filled us with the gift of his Holy Spirit, who is constantly at work to make sure we maintain that faith until that day we are called home. And then we go again and again to the sacrament of Holy Communion. There in that sacred act, we are reassured of the forgiveness of all of our sins. There we are reassured that we are always the children of God. There we are reminded that we are always heirs of eternal life. And then again, we can go often, again and again and again, to the pages of God's Word to read and to be reminded of all the promises that God has made to us, His dear children. Heaven is our home. And there is nothing that can ever keep us from that eternal inheritance. God is our Abba Father, and we are His dear children now and forever. There in the pages of that Word, He reminds us again and again of His love for us, a love that is eternal, a love that will never let us go, a love that will never leave us or forsake us. We are forgiven of all of our sins. We are redeemed. We have been bought back from sin, death, and the grave. We have been restored to the fullness of life forever. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are safe and secure in the arms of our Heavenly Father. And so we can live every day in joy and peace and hope. Now, that doesn't mean that our life here will always be a bed of roses. There's going to be shadows, may even be storms. There will be some times of tears, some times of sorrow as we journey through this life. And the reason is basically because the world hates our Savior. Because they hate Him, they're going to hate us too. And sometimes they're going to work to make our lives kind of miserable here. But even in those days, we are still assured that we are truly a blessed people. God promises us that He will be with us every step of the way through this life. He will always lead us through the shadows. He will guard and protect us. He will lead and guide us until He brings us to that heavenly green shores. He promises us that no matter what we go through here, He will always be with us. He will always support us in every trial. We will have all the strength we need to stand firm in the faith. We will not be overcome. There is a greater day of joy that awaits us, and a day when God Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You see, we are going someplace. We're on a journey. No one is going to be able to stop us from arriving at our heavenly home. Nothing this world could ever do will prevent that from happening. Because we believe in Jesus, we have a great reward awaiting us, the gift of life in heaven. Have you ever tried to imagine that life in heaven, wearing the crown of life, enjoying forever that full and complete victory over sin and Satan and death and the grave, an eternity of living with our God and with our Savior. Truly, we are a blessed people. And every time we look at the cross, we remember and we are reassured of how truly blessed we are. So, let's rejoice. As Paul says to us, I say to you, rejoice. I'm going to tell you again, rejoice. Because you are a truly blessed people. And then Jesus says to us this morning, and while you're rejoicing, why don't you take a look around, make sure nobody's looking, and then leap for joy. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto a life everlasting. Amen.